Hey, it's nearly a quarter past eight here on Breakfast. Now, long-time listeners will know that for quite a few weeks, I've been chatting with food historian and colonial foodie Jackie Newling, looking at the way foodstuffs in Australia have changed throughout the ages, building our way up until pretty much where we're getting to nearly now. It's time for a bit of a different look at food history. I'm quite excited to announce a brand new segment we're calling The Ingredients Time Forgot. Jackie joins me on the phone now. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Nick.
Nice to have you back after a week off. Hope you enjoyed your break.
Thank you, yes.
Now, the idea with this is we're going to have a look at some of the ingredients that used to be quite popular. You'd see them on many, many recipes of the time. They've fallen out of favour a little bit, but perhaps, maybe, they're still around. And we're kicking off with, well, I was going to say a perler, but that's probably a bit of a bad pun. We're going to talk sago.
I love a bad pun. Yeah, sago. Sago was such a classic kind of 100 years ago that, you know, when you buy a set of canisters, you know, and you've got your flour, tea, sugar, that sort of thing.
Yes.
There was always a sago canister as part of it.
There was, wasn't there?
Why so, there, you know, I have a great time sniffing around, you know, vintage shops and markets looking for sago tins because often they're the best looking ones because they've been the least used in the last sort of 50 years or so, or they've just become redundant and, you know, there's a certain, you know, lost elegance about them.
One owner from new. I love it. Come on, what is sago?
So sago is a starch product. It's actually from a sort of Southeast Asian, Polynesian style kind of root. I guess you could say it's like a palm root.
Oh.
It's not quite a yam. It takes quite a lot of processing to make it usable. And when it's processed, it looks like beanbag fillings.
Oh.
That's why it's called a pearl. Lots of tiny little white balls.
So it's a little like tapioca.
It's exactly the same as tapioca. The sago and the tapioca are very closely related. They're just a slightly different species of tree.
Huh.
But in the same family. They basically have the same function. So if you go to your supermarket looking for sago and you can't find it, then some brands will have tapioca pearls. And, either or. But here in Australia, we called it, the canisters tell us that it was sago.
Now, I know it as a bit of a sweet pudding, not that I've had one for a long time. What other uses did it have?
Well, nowadays, if you're going to find tapioca, you do usually find it in that Asian gula melaka, the sort of Malaysian or Singapore dessert where it's cooked in coconut milk.
Mm.
And that really does take us back to, in other words, they've hung on to that tradition. We've lost it. So we used to cook it with milk. And the natural sort of gelatinous or starchy quality of the sago meant that it would set like a jelly, like a pudding. And I think actually that's why it sort of lost its gloss. Once we started getting our aeroplane jellies, our instant jellies that could just be dissolved and made in 5 minutes, people stopped using tapioca. But that idea of that sort of semi-set jelly was quite lovely.
Mm. So processed packaging won over the hard graft of actually making it work yourself.
Having to actually cook something, that's right. But they were used sort of so for cold pudding. So you had what was called, you know, like sago custard, like we were just talking about, sago cream, lemon sago, which was just boiled with some sugar and lemon rind and lemon juice. And then it would set into a nice sort of tangy, really refreshing palate cleansing sort of pudding, and sago snow, where you'd whip white eggs up into a sort of meringue, and then fold the cooked sago through it, and you'd colour it a really delicate pink, so it looked sort of very sort of light and airy, and it was associated with delicate foods. So you know, it came over with the first fleet as part of the hospital supplies.
Really?
So it has been around in Australia that long because it was easy for people to swallow.
Mm.
Really quite soft. In fact, it got the common nickname of being fish eyes or frog spawn. You know, once it cooks, it goes clear. They're like tiny little clear bubbles, really. It's very gentle on your throat.
Lovely.
And gentle to digest.
So it was very much a dessert, never a breakfast food or anything like that?
Not so much a breakfast food, but it was often used. It was also used in a savoury application. I've got a sago, or sago soups were popular, but in a colonial cookbook by a woman named Hannah McClurkin. She ran the Wentworth Hotel here in Sydney in the 1890s and early 1900s. She has in her book an Australian soup, and of course being called Australian soup, I thought, oh, what makes it characteristically Australian? Well, guess what? It was sago.
Really?
Sago, beef stock and some tomatoes, and it's a very, very simple recipe. You boil the sago up in the stock. You could do a vegetarian version if you wanted, until they go, you crush them up and then cook them until they go clear. And you just get this beautiful, light but gelatinous texture to the soup. And then you add your tomatoes to give it colour. And it's really delicious, actually. It's worth reviving.
All right. I might actually have a play with that myself. So it was around about the time of aeroplane jelly that we started seeing the decline of sago, was it?
Look, I think that's my theory, and I think that's when a lot of those cold puddings, that and instant ice cream. Once we had domestic freezers and you had ice cream on hand, you know, usually sort of around the 1950s and 1960s, a lot of those cold puddings and cold custard and cold creamy desserts just disappeared off the menu.
Well, a very sad farewell to what sounded like a very delicious ingredient.
Yeah. Exactly. It's around actually now in bubble teas.
Bubble tea is sago.
You might know so the bubble tea is a Taiwanese invention that's come here, I guess, in the last 10 years. But those little bubbles are the tapioca or the sago pearls.
Wow, so there you go.
So things have a way of bouncing back, but from, you know, in different guises.
Everything old is new again.
That's exactly right.
Jackie, thank you so much. I'm very excited to talk more ingredients with you. I know we're not on next week, but in a fortnight's time. Let's chat about some ingredients that time forgot.
Fantastic. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you very much. Jackie is a food historian, colonial foodie. Track her down. Her book is incredible. We got news headlines coming up in around 10 minutes' time. Got time for a quick track. In fact, this is Lawrence Arabia with A Lake. After this, I'm going to play us another track from our feature album and maybe do the album giveaway. So stay tuned for that.